today and tomorrow we're going to take a look at something vital for our spiritual lives, for our devotional life. Well, basically, we're going to take a look at how to study the Bible and empower your devotional life. So we have 45 minutes today and 45 minutes tomorrow. So we'll see how far we reach of in the things we're going to cover today and do the rest tomorrow. Let's just have a short prayer as we begin again. Father in heaven, I thank you again that we can gather together and to learn more how we can get closer to you. I pray, Lord, that you may send your Holy Spirit, that you may speak to each heart, including my own, and that you may empower our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. As Christians, we said the last lecture we had is a follower of Christ, obviously, and it's a special friendship. Christ is a special person. He's our Savior. He's our Creator, our Sustainer, our Redeemer. And but the question is, you know, how can we actually get to know Him better? How can we get this into our daily lives? And usually, or many times, maybe when we talk about things about the Word of God, I mean, it's a lot of theory, and I will try to make things practical, and I hope that you will find some things that I share to be useful in your life, in your walk with Christ. So we're going to take some time to go through some different points, but first, I want to just tell you that this book is not just any book. This is the Word of God. And you're invited to open up this outstanding, amazing revelation of God's will for our lives, of God's, what can you say, the food, the spiritual food that we all need. This was authored by God. The information here was, it was given through the Holy Spirit to men that wrote down what God wanted them to write to us. It's God's, it's like a big letter for us personally. And we read that part of it is for, you know, the things that have happened in the past that we can read about here is for our learning. But the enemy is trying to get rid of God's word all since the beginning of the great controversy. He's trying to distract us even from studying it. He's trying to even kill us because we want to be on God's side. But the Bible has survived through the ages, you know, through the dark ages when it was very tough to stand up for God's word. It has survived. And praise the Lord for that. But Jesus, he says, "He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." John 6:35. So what do we have to do in order to fulfill this text? We have to come, then we have to believe in Christ. So I'm going to try to make this practical today, and because this is what Christianity is about. Christianity is practical. Being a follower of Christ is not, you're not going to be a follower of Christ sitting on a chair in your own house and do nothing. It's not about theory, it's about a transformed life when we meet Christ. Testimony to the Church, Volume 6, page 393. The Bible is God's voice speaking to us, as I said. Just as surely as though we could hear it with our ears, we realize this. With that awe would we open God's Word. And with what earnestness would we search its precepts. The reading and the contemplation of the Scriptures would be regarded as an audience with the Infinite One. Did you have an audience with the Infinite One this morning or today? Have you had it through in this week? An audience with the Infinite One, with our Creator, with our Redeemer. You know, if we only understood what a privilege to have an audience with the Infinite. I mean, much greater than have an audience with the King of Denmark or whoever. It's an audience with the One that has always existed. So by opening the Scriptures, you're given an audience with the king of the universe. Have you ever told God or asked God a question, God, why don't you speak to me? Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you show me? I think we all have at one point, you know, God, why, just talk to me, you know, I can't hear you. If you want him to speak to you, study his word. We saw, or we know, Jesus, he was at his father's feet. As he grew up in this world, you know, as you remember, he was studying with the scribes in the temple. And he said, you know, when Joseph and Mary, they lost sight of Jesus. For 3 days, they didn't see Jesus. After 3 days, they found him. Where? In the temple. And Jesus said this, how is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business? Even the scribes were impressed and astonished at his teaching. So, you know, if you lose Jesus out of sight one day, you may have to spend 3 times to find him again. Because we're living in a great controversy. We're living in a warfare. So just like Mary and Joseph did lose sight of Christ for 3 days, it may happen to us if we're not careful. And even longer, of course. And we know that in education, Ellen White writes about this. She says, in childhood, youth and manhood, Jesus studied the scriptures. As a little child, he was daily at his mother's knee, taught from the scrolls of the prophets. In his youth, the early morning and the evening twilight often found him alone in the mountainside or among the trees of the forest, spending a quiet hour in prayer and the study of God's word. During his ministry, his intimate acquaintance with the scriptures testified to diligence in their study. And since he gained knowledge as we may gain it, he had to learn knowledge just as we have. We may also gain it in the same way. His wonderful power, both mental and spiritual, is a testimony to the value of the Bible as a means of education. He got his knowledge from the Word of God. He got the knowledge at his father's feet. Early morning and in the evening was found in the mountainside, spending time with God and his Word. Devotion empowers. You know, the word devotion, It can imply to, you know, time with God, taking a time to worship God. But not only that, you know, it means enthusiasm, loyalty, or love for something. And in this case, it's for the Word of God. So let's say it together. Devotion empowers. I want you to remember that because this is what it is all about. Devotion, loyalty, enthusiasm about God and His Word. Do you know how much they valued scriptures back in Jesus' day? You know, it could take 3 months in copying the Old Testaments. 3 months, 90 days. I mean, this has a big price, a lot of time. I mean, a lot of money. But we have to ask ourselves, do we value the scriptures today as they did? I mean, now it's so easily, I mean, we have such easy access to it. We can read it on the computer, on our phone, and now on our watch. You know, it's amazing. We have so much opportunity to study God's Word, but do we do it? Do we value it? I mean, it's so cheap in a sense now than what it was back then because they had to work for it or they had to spend a lot of money to buy it. Do we spend enough time in God's Word to be excited about it? Or do popular media of our day, digital or hard copy, squeeze out the Word of God in our lives? At this time of Jesus, you know, a Hebrew child, when he was 12 years old, he was considered an adult. He was expected to know the Bible and take responsibility to live according to it. What is expected of children today? You know, if you're a parent, do you teach your children the scriptures? And for the rest of you, do you take individual responsibility in your life and for God and His word? How powerful isn't the word of God? Let's read a quote. And this is a very interesting quote, I personally think, from Christ's Obit Lesson, page 38. Ellen White writes, "In every command and in every promise of the word of God is the power, the very life of God, by which the command may be fulfilled and the promise realized. He who by faith receives the word is receiving the very life and character of God." You know, what is this basically saying? That means, in the very words, there is power, there is life, like it says. That means that we can claim the promises of this word. If I read Jeremiah 33, verse 3, it says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which you don't know." I can say, "God, when I read this, I'm calling to you, I can claim this promise that you will show me things, you know, that you want to reveal to me. I can claim the promise." I can go to Hebrews 13, verse 5, and where it says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." There is power in the word. But we have to reach out in faith and say, "God, I believe in this. It has come out of your mouth. I believe in it. This is your voice, and I believe that, like it says, it's power in it." Do you long for the word to empower you? Let's see. It says from youth instructor, June 1, 1856. And I wanted to pay attention to this. We're going to take a little bit look at this. It says, "It may be difficult for you to love to study the word of God at once, when you have not been in the habit of studying it, but God will help you." How many of you have felt it difficult to love the Word of God? I will be the first to raise up my hand, because it is difficult. I mean, it's not natural. This is a supernatural thing. This is a supernatural thing. I mean, it's not according to our nature to love pure things, to love good things. But let's continue. She says this. First of all, we say God will help us to do it. He's the one that can teach us to love His word. And she says, "Pray for His forgiveness for neglecting His holy word so long, and then beg of the Lord to give you love and interest in His word. Be in earnest in the matter. When I lose my love for the Bible, I am alarmed. I know that I do not love Jesus if I do not love to search the book that testifies of Him." What does this tell you? First of all, what are your thoughts about this? Maybe I should ask if before I tell you mine. What can we do? When you read this, what are you thinking? What are your thoughts? Does it tell you something? Yeah, what does it tell you? How does it speak to you? Okay. Uh-huh. Very good. Does that mean that even Ellen White, there were times when she didn't love the Word of God? She said, "I know that I do not love Jesus." Well, actually, before that, she says, "When I lose my love for the Bible." When I, she doesn't say if. She said when. The prophet of God has not always loved the Word of God. Well, she's a human being. She was a human being as well. Anyone else? Any other comment? Yeah, thank you for your honestness, and I think we can recognize ourselves in that. I mean, we don't always feel like studying, and sometimes we maybe even do it just because we feel like we have to. We're habitual and fall asleep, or just, okay, let's see here, 5 minutes, okay. Study 5 minutes and then done, and then you don't even get blessed, and then you continue with the day. You know, I'm thinking about something here. It says, "Pray for His forgiveness for neglecting His holy word so long, and then beg of the Lord to give you love and interest in His word." Why don't we take a minute right now individually to pray to God and ask for forgiveness for not loving His word? Do you think that's a good idea? Then make it a little bit practical already. Let's do that. Let's take just a minute and pray for yourself, or you can pray for others too, but just try to ask if you feel it appropriate to ask for forgiveness for neglecting His holy word, for not loving it. Let's do that. Yeah, dear Father, I just now want to ask for forgiveness when I have not loved Your word. Lord, we live in a great controversy, and it's indeed challenging. I pray, Lord, that You may empower us today, and that You may change us and maybe change our attitudes. Speak to us, Father, and give us a love for You and Your word, and help us not to separate You with Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so first we need to have patience, right? We can see that because it may be difficult to love the Bible at once. Second of all, we have to pray for forgiveness and ask the Lord to give you love and interest for His word. And we just did that a minute now, and you can do it more later on. And so, well, let's, like Pernille pointed out, the last part of this quote, and let's take an example. I know there are many of you here that are studying medicine, okay? So how many of you love medicine or love this field? Can I see your hands? Maybe you don't do that, even if you study it, I don't know. Not all of you are here. Okay, you're not sure, okay. Yeah. But let's not focus on the study, but just the topic medicine and health. How many of you love the topic of health and medicine? Yeah? I do. Okay. Another question. Do you love reading about it? Yeah? That's how it should be, in a sense, right? I know, even if I'm interested in something, I can struggle with reading it also. I know the feeling. But, you know, if we love the Word of God, we will, and if we love Jesus, as we saw here, we have to also love studying it. But again, it's a supernatural thing. We have to ask God to give us interest and love for His Word. And maybe, you know, some of us, we think that being a pastor, a leader, evangelist, for these kind of people, it's easy every day with their devotions. But it's not so. It is not so. I don't feel like studying the Word every morning when I wake up. Sometimes I'm thinking more of the things I have to do, and I'm just, oh man, I just need to check my email. I need to check if I got an answer for this or whatever. I don't know. But if it appears boring, if the Word of God appears boring, I already told you, you can pray. And we have some, before I go that, when we have a, for instance, you can pray this, Psalms 119, verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Psalms 119, verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Pray these things. Say, God, you know, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things out of your law. Because if it appears boring, apparently our eyes are not open, or something is, you know, we may not be focused at that moment or whatever. But devotion empowers. So pray this to become real into your life. Claim God's promises, and this will have an impact in your life. And I'm going to give you 7 steps that can empower your Bible study. 7 steps. And there are many ways how we can do this. But first of all, if you want, how many of you want to empower your Bible study, your personal Bible study? Me too. Amen. Okay, so, but we have to realize that the devil, he hates God, His Word, and God's people. He is going to try to discourage you every time you open. And even when you make decisions for God, it's trying to discourage you and make this boring. That's what he's trying to do. Part of it, of course. But let's see what we can do. First of all, number one, we need to organize and prioritize. This is important. I mean, just as you organize maybe studying other things, doing homework, at your work, why don't we get organized more with God and get more serious about it? So choose a time. Write it on your schedule or plan it, you know. set a time. This is when I should study God's word. And then get focused. You know, it is very hard to, as soon as you wake up in the morning, I don't know about you, but when I wake up in the morning, I'm tired. I hope it's not only me who feel like that, but I'm tired and I don't feel like, well, if I would, and it has happened, you know, if I take my Bible to read like this, oh, fall back asleep. What did I read? Oh, you know how it is. So get focused. And how can you get focused? One thing you can do is pray. I have what I do usually before I study. I have a prayer list for people or projects that I can pray for. I write them down. I have used my phone and I connect it also to my computer. So I have my prayer list on my computer and on my phone. You can use it on paper also. But, you know, I would really encourage you, if you get focused and praying maybe for others also. I mean, I pray in general for the day. I mean, I surrender to God. And then in the end, I pray for this prayer list. Or I have many lists. I have done different lists. Maybe we can get back to that later. But then you get focused on spiritual things that could help you. And as you pray, you can also organize your day. You know, Eloise says we should set off, you know, time, how long, you know, like plan or to plan. She said, we just read earlier, in fact, that success in any line demands a definite aim. We need to have a definite aim. We need to have a clear plan of things in order to get success, also with spiritual things. So during the day, you know, you can make a plan and approximately how long things will take. You will get much more efficient. She says some people spend 4 hours on doing something, while others that, you know, if you plan it, you could spend 2 hours on it. So if you organize your day, you know, as you surrender to God and then you make a little bit of plans and surrender those plans to God, that's also a way. And get some fresh air that can help us get more focused. Go for a walk. I know some people who like to go for a walk and they pray. You know, they go out in nature and pray to God there. Very fresh. I try that also. Take a shower. I don't know about you, but somehow at times, I some people almost feel it like a sin to leave the bed until you have read the word of God. I don't know if you've been thinking like that. Even though I have not been thinking these very words, but I feel like, you know, I don't want to do too many things before I do this, you know, study the word of God. But I mean, taking a shower, it can maybe help you wake up, and because the Bible doesn't say a rule that, you know, you can't take a shower before you study, or you can't leave your bed before you study. But I don't know, but it's something at least that I've kind of had in my mind many times that, I want to stay in my room until I'm done this, and I almost don't even want to go to the bathroom because it's... But get focused, yeah? I know, yes, I know. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. That could be a problem. So if you choose to do something to get focused, I mean, don't do just anything, because if you start, what can I say, planning for your work in the day, I mean, before you do your devotion, start planning to pay your bills or talking with others about some problems, that's not a good way to start, because then you're focusing on the daily tasks. Even though I think it could be okay to, as you have prayed, to maybe write a short schedule, a short plan for the day, and you can pray about that. But if you go more into details, it's going to mess with your mind. It's going to distract you. So what I will suggest is keep electronic devices shut off until you're done with your devotion. Not necessarily shut off totally, because I use this, you know, I deactivate my phone and Wi-Fi during the night. And when I wake up, I may use this prayer list that I have on here. You know, I think that's okay, but don't start checking your emails and you know, doing things. And I know, I mean, there are times when I've done that as well, but that's not a good idea. Because then your mind goes other ways, and then suddenly you don't have time any longer for your devotion. you have to get going. I mean, maybe you have to get eating and then leave for work or something. So make a plan. Choose a place also. Well, in fact, I also sometimes use my computer for my study. I take notes and maybe look up something. Maybe I Google something that I'm reading about. And let's see if, you know, if there's any thoughts about this, or I use concordance or different Bible versions. I think that's okay too. I mean, we should use what we have, but try not to go other places on the computer while you do your devotion and get distracted. Choose a place, you know, that is private and free from as many distractions as possible. Some of you, maybe like me, like to be social and go out. Maybe you go out in the living room or where you have other people also staying and you start talking and your devotion is no longer devotion. Matthew 6:6 says, "But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly." So we have the Bible, biblical counsel that to go for yourself when you pray your private prayers. Go to yourself, you know, so God, you can commune with God. And then, yeah, make a plan for your Bible study. Decide what to study. You know, having a specific plan on that will keep you motivated also. And I don't know about you, but many times I've just randomly been studying something. Okay, let's see. Go to Psalms here. Yeah, this psalm here. It will be enough time for that. And, you know, it's very easy to do that. I'm not saying that there's not a time for doing that. Sometimes God can impress us to read something and maybe you don't have that half an hour or hour to continue your study that you already or your plan. But you know, if you make a plan what to study, it will keep us motivated and focused. And I'll get back to that a little bit later. How often should we study? It's maybe a question. What do you think? What do you suggest? Every day, okay? Yeah, good. Yeah, we have Acts 17:11 says they receive the word with all readiness and search all scriptures. How often? Daily, exactly like Pernille said, to find out whether these things were so. So we have an example there, and we have 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." So every day, we should surrender to God. We should give our lives to Him and commune with Him. So, and Jesus did this also. We read that He says, "And in the morning," well, we all already read a quote about it, "but in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place. Then He prayed." So we see actually many examples of Jesus taking time to God every day, many times a day, in the morning and the evening, like we read in the quote earlier. But remember the manna. When did they gather the manna? In the mornings, yes? Okay. And, you know, it says when the sun, in Exodus, when the sun became hot, it melted. So in other words, if they waited too long to pick up the manna, it melted. That could also be a lesson for us spiritually. That if we wait too long, you know, it's not the best part of the day to do it because you're already then so distracted about many things and you've already spent some day without devotion. I mean, that's in the mornings are good. And for me, I really like sleeping. So this is something I've been struggling with. To get up early enough to take time to study, because if I don't get enough sleep, I will feel so tired the whole day. So many times I prioritize my sleep. But it's so vital to take that time in the morning to start your day with God. Get focused and commune with Him and prioritize this. And this is an interesting quote. From John Bunyan, "He who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find Him the rest of the day." I think that's very true. Because if you run from God in the morning, don't take this time, I mean, the days when this has happened with me, I see a difference. You know, I'm not prepared to face what I'm facing, or I don't feel like God is really guiding me in the same way. I don't know if you can relate to that, but so take the time. I mean, take some time to God in the morning. That's very important. You know, many of us, if we have put something in our calendar, an appointment, and you get invited to something, and you may say, well, I'm sorry, you know, I'm already busy. I need to stick to this. What if we would treat, you know, what if we would do the same with God's word? Let's say someone calls you to do something, and you say, well, actually, I'm busy. I'm going to commune with God. I'm going to have my devotion. I plan to have my devotion. What if we treated God in the same way as declining invitations to do something or requests because we want to spend time with God? I mean, this shouldn't be worth less than other appointments for the day. So we need to prioritize. By prioritizing, you will show what is important to you. Okay, number two, surrender. I mean, we talked about that in knowing God's will, but also studying God's word. This is important. And how? Ellen White says, Steps of Christ, page 91. Never should the Bible be studied without prayer. Before opening its pages, we should ask for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, and it will be given. This is very important. This is a spiritual book that is understood in a spiritual way. We need to pray before we open the pages to understand it, for God to speak to us. 2 Corinthians 2, 13-14. Oh man, time is flying here, I see. I don't know what happened. So we have some minutes left. Okay. So 2 Corinthians 2, 13-14. It says, we're talking about comparing spiritual things with spiritual, just like I said. And that's because they are spiritual discern. And James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And why she says this in Steps to Christ again, page 70. Consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. So you're talking about the very first work. Doesn't say, you know, you can't take a shower to get more awake to study God's word. I mean, in fact, if that makes you awake, I mean, you should do it. She says, let your prayer be, take me, O Lord, as holy thine. I lay my plans at your feet. Use me today in your service. Abide with me and let all my work be wrought in thee. This is a daily matter, she says. And I think this is a beautiful prayer. I'm trying to pray this myself in the mornings, to consecrate myself to God and let him lead me and abide in me. Each morning, consecrate yourself to God for that day. Surrender all your plans to him to be carried out or given up as his providence shall indicate. Thus, day by day, you may be giving your life into the hands of God. And thus, your life will be molded more and more after the life of Christ. This is what you have to do. And what are we to surrender? From this quote, surrender your life, number one. Surrender your plans. Number three, ask God to use you in his service. And then ask God to let all your work be done through him. Let him be in charge of it. And how often are we going to do this? Every day, it said. And what will the result be? As we see in the end, the early quote. The result is, thus your life will be molded more and more after the life of Christ. And this is what we want as Christians. Okay. Number three, dig deep. Dig deep into the Word of God. Education, page 189, it says, in daily study, the verse-by-verse method is often most helpful. Let the student take one verse and concentrate the mind on ascertaining the thought that God has put into that verse for him, and then dwell upon the thought until it becomes his own. One passage thus studied until its significance is clear is of more value than the perusal of many chapters with no definite purpose in view and no positive instruction gained. So what method is she recommending? She says verse by verse, and you know, as you do that, don't just read it, but study it. Think about what you're reading. There's a time where you can read and get more view, of course, but she says this is the most helpful, this method. So I can share, I mean, I've used this method by studying the book of Revelation. I'm actually not the whole one yet, but I'm verse by verse doing that. But wow, I've seen so many. I mean, I could stay to one verse for a long time and try to figure out what it means. I mean, that's a blessing to really think about it and pray and study. Then we have to ask some questions as we are studying. That can help us. Who are we talking about here? Who are we dealing with here? What is the situation? What is going on? When was this written? When was this situation? When did it take place? Where? And why is it here? Why is it in the Bible? Why? I mean, what can we learn from this? And perhaps you can ask also how. How was this being done, or and so on. And there are three phases of studying that I want to show you that has been a blessing for me, and I can see a big difference when I'm using these principles here. And first, observation. Read the passage, observe, and ask these questions. What does the text say? So in fact, we'll do this, the last thing we do now, because we don't have so much time. I'll go through these three and then we'll leave because we have to eat. But let's take an example so you can get what I'm saying. Let's go to John chapter 10, verse 27. John 10, 27. Just to take one verse and just think, use these principles here to get it more practical. It says there, "My sheep hear my voice," Jesus speaking, "and I know them, and they follow me." I mean, only by this verse, it can tell us a lot by asking these questions and following this. So first we observe what, and here, of course, we need to consider the context. What does the context, what is the context here? Okay, so the context is Jesus is in Jerusalem. It's during the Feast of Dedication, and there were some doubting Jews approaching him. That's the context in short. And then, what does the text say? It says, Jesus' sheep hears his voice and follows him. Okay, it's as simple as that. And what else does it say? Well, maybe this is more interpretation, but these are people that he knows. That's what the text is saying. He knows these people. And then, interpretation. What does it mean? That's what we want to understand. Why does it happen? Does it say anything about Christ? About God? Is there any type here in the text? Any symbols? First of all, we can say this. Out from this text, not all are the sheep of Christ. Can you see that? Is that fair to say from this text? Not all are the sheep of Christ. Only those who, what? Hears his voice. Those are his sheep. Only those that Christ knows. And what does that tell you as we interpret this? They have spent time with him. That's how they know him. That's how they understand and hear his voice. And they've chosen to follow him. So following Christ also means to walk in his footsteps. We can say salvation is a choice. We can choose to become the sheep of God. Salvation comes through Christ. And so we need to focus here to also discover the author's original intent, the reason why he put this here, to understand it. Then number three, which is also very important to not skip when you study. I mean, this is how it makes it more practical. And that's what we want as Christians. Okay, how does this apply to my life? Think about it. Look at the text. What would you say? Anyone? How can this apply to your life personally? What we had just have seen in this text? We need to listen to Christ's voice. Okay, good. And we can ask the questions, what is God saying to me and asking me to do? And she said, we need to listen. Okay. Is there an example here to follow? We can ask. Is there a sin mentioned here that we need to avoid, whatever we read? Is there a command to obey? Is there a promise to claim? So we can see, we have to ask ourselves, am I like one of the doubting Jews that approached him in the context, taking consideration? Or am I part of Christ's sheep that listen to his voice? Do I listen to his voice daily? We can ask. Do I daily spend time in his word through prayer? So, you know, you can decide why, only by reading this passage, do I want to follow Christ? Do I want to listen to his voice? Do I want to know him? And we can claim, is there a promise there, by the way? Is there a promise here we can claim? Amen. Christ will speak to his sheep. We can claim it. There's power in the word, like we read. There's power in the very word here. We can claim it and hold fast to it by faith. And as you study, you can take notes, and that can also help you to you will remember more. I mean, in fact, studies are shown that if you hear something and read something, something will stick to your mind. But when you take notes, maybe you have heard of that in school. But I also heard now quite recently that taking notes on a computer is not as good as taking notes by hand. I don't know about you, but I don't like writing by hand, so that's a struggle for me. I always like to have it on my computer because it's easier, I write faster, it looks much nicer, and I know where I have it. You know, I can have access to it almost wherever I travel, you know, whatever. So, but anyhow, it's good to take notes, whether it's on the computer or on by hand, but it will help us also as we commune with God and we can go back. Okay, yeah, we'll continue this tomorrow. And so let's just have a short prayer and then we go on it. Father in heaven, I thank you for this short time we have had now. And Lord, I pray that the things that we have taken a look at, that it may be a blessing to us and that we also may be able to hear the rest of this workshop so that we can, even get more blessed and at your feet, and help us, Father, as we study your word to get a love for it and an interest in it and to really that it may be an important part of our lives and not just a ritual that we do daily, but something that empowers us daily and that can mold us, become more like you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.